What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about finding and testing out small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. But enough about the show. Let's get into our next game. Pirates Outlaws is the game for this week's episode. Pirates Outlaws is a deck-building roguelike game developed by Fabled Game Studios and released in 2019. The game is available on PC, Mac, Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and it's also available on mobile, so iOS and Android. And the thing about this game for me, first of all, it's kind of a subgenre that's a bit oversold and overpopulated. I feel like there's a lot of deck building roguelikes, so it's very tough to sift through. I do think there are a lot of high quality ones out there. I tend to not like roguelike games. I really only mess with ones that I really like that have some kind of permanence or progression that you can stack or feel like you're accomplishing things. So for me, for this game, number one, the thing that attracted me was the aesthetic, because it's pirates, it's ships, and, you know, gunplay and things like that. But as I was playing it, very tight gameplay, the turnaround, very quick in terms of what you're doing, the cards that you're playing, and the effects, and short runs. I mean, you can get through these runs pretty quickly. Definitely plays like Dicey Dungeons and Balatro, obviously being a deck-building roguelike, but really endless depth in here in the cards that you play, the characters that you can use, and their sort of special abilities, as well as the strategies that you can employ, and a lot of unlocking things. You're unlocking different modes, you're unlocking characters with higher level abilities, etc. But in general, the battles and the progression, getting through doing these runs, is really simple and really fun. The game released with a price point of $19.99 on Steam and $16.99 on console, and I'm not sure why the price difference, but I know that for both of those, all of the different modes or different things that you could acquire in the game, they're all available to be unlocked. But the mobile version, I think, is either a dollar or it's free, depending on what platform. But for that, I think most of the modes or the higher characters and different things that you can unlock, you have to pay to unlock, I believe. Runtime of the game, it's always tough with games like this. I mean, you can get through one actual run in like less than an hour, probably less than a half hour, depending on how far you get. But they are limited. But I've put about 15 hours in just myself, and I definitely haven't gotten like half of the things that you can collect. So to really get everything in this game, I don't really know how long it would take you, but it's definitely one of those endless games. And the developer we talked about, Fabled Game Studios, they're a small team out of Shenzhen in China. And right now, I think they're working on Pirates Outlaws 2, but they've also made a game called Spiritual. I don't really know it, but it looks interesting aesthetically. But it's really interesting to see these games out of China, whether you're paying full price for it or free to play on mobile, definitely have some staying power. Let's talk gameplay for Pirates Outlaws. So it's a deck-building roguelike, so you're going to hear a lot of common terms that we've used before. So going on runs and what that means, You're going to have things that you get that are temporary versus things that are permanent, whether in a run or in a hand or in the whole game. You will have permanent things. So just a lot of the things that we've talked about before with these types of games, you'll definitely hear the same vocabulary. But just going through the basics, so the main way that you're doing things is you're just moving the joystick or the D-pad or whatever, and you're just cycling through options for you to select, whether it's different cards or different things, abilities or whatever, and it'll be highlighted in white, so it's pretty obvious. Sometimes there'll be button prompts, so like when you're in a battle and you're looking at your hand, to end your turn, you're going to have to manually do that, and you'll have to press a specific button. Sometimes when you're in different menus, like when you're in buildings, like in the tavern or something like that, there'll be specific button prompts to do specific things, but most of the time you're just kind of cycling through for what you're going to click. So let's talk progression in the game. In general, this is very basic. You're going to be unlocking things, and you got to play, you got to do runs in order to unlock it. And this could be game modes, this could be the different characters, different cards that'll be added to the card pool, all kinds of things. It's just play to unlock, and that'll enrich your experience as you get more things in the available pools. So when you get to the main menu, it's interesting. It's super busy. And sometimes when I start the game and it's going through like the load up screens of the different publishers or whatever, sometimes I'll keep hitting X and it's like clicking on the main menu and moving forward in the game. So I don't know if that's a bug or just something simple, but very busy main menu. And it looks a lot like a free to play game like Fall Guys or something like that, where there's just different boxes that have different things going on. Like, oh, this is your currency here. This is a mode you can unlock. This is a mode, just kind of throwing things in your face. So that's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of these genre of games, because they seem a bit free to play. But just be aware of that. Don't click too heavy as you start the game. So you'll look at the different modes, and the main one is going to be Navigate, which is where you're like doing your runs. But you'll eventually unlock the Arena mode, where it's like you're doing an endless battle or like one battle after another. And then there's like a Brawl mode or a Tavern Brawl. I haven't messed around with that. I think it has something to do with the different characters, like pitting them against each other. I'm not sure. You will see something on the main menu that has the quests that you have available for you, so things that you can accomplish that'll get you to also unlock things. This is very Darkest Dungeon, I feel, because in Darkest Dungeon you have like a list of quests that you can go out and do, and there's no particular order, and you can click whichever one that you want loaded up. I don't know if you need to have it clicked to accomplish it, or if the game just tracks you doing it automatically, but it is kind of providing you like, hey, here are the available tasks that you can do, potentially unlocking things if you complete them. You'll also be able to choose your character or your hero to do the run with. And again, these you'll unlock slowly. So right off the bat, you'll just have the one character with, I guess, simplest abilities. But eventually you'll unlock different characters and you can choose whichever one you want to do. And then you can, of course, just look at or enable certain things that you have unlocked. All the things you've collected, all the different cards that you've unlocked or characters and whatnot, sort of as like a compendium. And at the top, you'll have a repute score, so like your reputation, and this is permanent. So as you're playing the game, you're racking this up as you go through runs, and this is really going to track your ability to unlock all of these different things. So whatever the number you have, if you get higher than whatever number is posted on all the things that are locked, then you'll unlock that, whether it's a mode, whether it's characters, quests, things like that. And you'll have to go through the navigate mode in order to do so. And we'll go through what that mode is, but basically you're progressing through beating a boss, and you can beat three bosses, and if you beat one, you can opt out from going forward, or you can progress to try to go to the second boss or the third boss, and depending on when you opt out or if you die, that dictates how much of the repute score that you actually gain. And there are other ways to unlock things, not just through the repute score. So we talked about having quests, so completing them, completing runs of certain areas. This can give you a lot of different things. I think access to different card packs or different relics. But again, meaning that they're now in the pool of what's accessible to come up for you. And quickly, let's just talk pacing in general. Again, this game is very Darkest Dungeon, especially with the whole quest system. Like you can access them whenever they become available, and you can choose whichever one you want to focus on. What's interesting is the really steady increase in challenge from low to high, and that goes with the different areas that you unlock. So the first one is the simplest one. When you unlock the next one, it's a higher challenge. Same thing with the different characters that you unlock and their sort of abilities or the way that their decks are used. The most basic one is the simplest, but as you unlock higher level characters and higher level areas, you'll get that slow challenge increase. And what's interesting is you'll always have access to new and old, and both can help you progress. So for example, if you have a certain character that you really want to unlock, you can stay doing the simplest area with the simplest character over and over again if you don't want the challenge of some of the mid-level ones. So to unlock things and to progress in this game, you really can choose your path and choose your poison. So it's not so much like Dicey Dungeons in that aspect, because Dicey Dungeons, it's like you have to unlock the different characters and then beat them all at the first level and then all at the second level to keep unlocking things. You can really kind of maintain the basic challenge and still be unlocking things, which is really nice. And so let's get into the runs that you're actually doing, and which is the navigate mode. How you are progressing through this once you go into the navigate mode is you'll enter like an overworld map. And this is very similar to games like Inscription or Void Bastards, where you have these branching paths and different types of spots that you can land on. So you're progressing, you're choosing your path, and when you go to a new location, it is one of a variety of types of locations that you're going to do something at. And to get there, you have to use a currency, which is like fuel to move, which is something that you have to keep an eye on. Again, very similar to games like Void Bastards, where you have to keep an eye on like how much food you have as you're progressing. You have to do the same thing here, because if you're stranded without, it can end your game. So it's one of the things that you have to keep an eye on and look ahead on the path that you're trying to go on. So one of the main types of locations on these maps that you're going to go to are ones where they're just battles. So it's going to be labeled the same as battle. They might look different on the map, but those are the ones that you're going to have to do the most. And when you jump into battle, you'll see your character on the left, and you'll have your character, and they'll have their max HP. They'll have specific abilities that you can look at in the main menu when you're selecting your hero. Other than that, your character will have a set deck that they start with, and you'll be drawing from that deck, and then your character will also have a max number of ammo that they can have, and you'll start in your first battle with max ammo. And so the battle screen is going to be turn-based. It's you, and then all the enemies will do their thing. And it's interesting because there's a lot of things that come up, especially from Darkest Dungeon. So there's line logistics. So you'll have your character on the left, but then you'll have a series of enemies in line on the right. It might just be one, it could be two, three, but where they are dictates who you can hit with certain attacks. And so in order to do attacks, you're going to have to use your deck and the cards in your deck. So right off the bat, when you start, you'll take five cards from your deck, and that'll be your hand. And your hand will consist of different types of cards, and your deck will consist of different types of cards. You'll have attack cards, ones that are melee attack, which means you can only use them on the enemy right in front, or ranged attacks, which means you can use them on any enemy. It could be cards that you use and will buff you. It can debuff the enemy. And then there'll be ammo cards, which will replenish your ammo if you happen to use any of it. Some of the ranged attacks will have ammo costs. But again, they're ranged, so you can use them on any enemy, and they'll be like a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or so on up in the top left corner inside the symbol for ammo. If you don't have that ammo, you won't be able to use that, but if you do, you'll use the ammo, so that'll tick off of your ammo. And what's really nice is on your turn, you can use any amount of cards that you have. So if you have all the ammo or all the requirements, or if you happen to have all melee attacks, you can use them all in your one turn, and then you'll do whatever damage that happens. Any card that you use will go in your discard pile, and any card that you don't use and you manually end your turn with still in your hand will also go into the discard pile. And what's interesting is you're going to kind of be rinsing and repeating, because at the end of your turn, because at the beginning of your turn, you'll draw a fresh hand, and if you don't have enough cards, your discard pile will just shuffle back into your deck. So you're constantly cycling through your cards, and it's going to happen a lot, especially in the beginning, because you only have like 10 cards in your deck to start. And once you're in battle, the goal is to kill all the enemies and you'll win. And what's really nice is there's full transparency. So as you jump into battle, you'll see all the enemies max health. You'll always see the enemy's next move, with some kind of symbol. Like if there's an up arrow, that means they're going to buff themselves or other enemies. If there's a down arrow, that means they're going to try to debuff you. If they're going to attack you, they'll have some kind of symbol, but then a number, which will be how much damage. So it's really nice because that can help you strategize and plan ahead. If you know who's going to attack, who's going to buff, who's going to debuff, that would dictate like, okay, let me kill this enemy because they're going to damage me and I don't have enough health, so on and so forth. And again, this gets to be rinse and repeat. Some of the early battles are pretty basic. You're just trying to kill all the enemies, but then you really have to strategize because some of them will have high HP and you're really going to have to pace yourself and the cards that you have in your hand. Some of the advanced things that'll come up. So some of the cards are basic, like 5 melee damage to the enemy in front. But some of them might have melee damage or range damage to multiple enemies. Some of them might damage and inflict different status effects. Some of them might have multiple effects. Some of them might have an effect where you'll do it and it might either attack or might give a buff or a debuff, but then you'll also reload a certain amount. And then, of course, you'll have cards that could heal you, all kinds of different things like that that you'll get that'll pop up from your deck. You also have a chance to crit, which is basically just doing double damage. And there are certain cards that can up that chance or make it more likely. Some of the different statuses that you'll be affected by, there are positive and negative ones. So things like rage, I think, can increase your attack percentage damage. Dodge means that any enemy that's attacking you has a 50% chance of missing. The debuffs, blind, weaken, injure, these can be applied to you or the enemies, as well as some of the buffs. So everything kind of goes both ways. What's also nice is there's armor. So you and the enemies can gain armor, and what that allows you to do is just absorb that many damage. So, for example, if you are able to apply 10 armor to you and the enemy is going to damage you 8, then you'll have 2 armor left over and all your HP will remain intact. Some of these effects will have counters, meaning like whatever number is with the symbol, that's how many turns you have it left for. Armor always stays until it goes away. So there's a lot of different things that you're keeping in mind. But again, all the indicators are really there. They're fully transparent so you can see everything. Some of your characters will have different abilities. So for example, the main character that you start with, every turn they will reload 1 ammo. That's something that is not automatic for every character. So you need to be mindful of that. Some of them you'll have to rely on your cards to reload ammo. And as you're getting into the pace of battle, it's really fun and interesting because it's very quick with the cards. Like you can use the cards very quickly. Like the inputs for them can go back and forth. Sometimes if you do it too fast though, like it won't register and the card will just sit there. So you'll have to like press it again. So there's a little bit of jankiness there, but it really is refreshing how quickly you can just apply exactly what you want to do. Like you'll click a card and then you move. Like you'll click a card and then you'll choose which enemy it goes to by moving it, and then you'll click it again and then it'll do the attack. If you happen to drop your HP to 0, you will lose the battle and that'll end your run instantly and you can start a new run. You can go back to the main menu. If you win, you'll get gold and then you'll be able to pick 1 of 3 cards to add to your deck, which is nice. So you get to choose sort of your rewards and there's full transparency. You can always click description and that'll allow you to see like all of the stats of the card or like what it will do. You may also get a card that's a relic, which is different than a card that gets added to your deck. So a relic will be like a permanent bonus for your run. And I think every character has 5 slots of relics that you can put in there and accrue along the way. So it might be like all melee cards get +1 to damage or something like that. So they can be really nice to stack up. And then once you're done a battle, you'll go back to the map screen, choose where you're going next. So some of the other locations you can go to, some of them are event spaces. And these are basically spaces where you'll have like a D&D scenario. It could be like crossroads, like choose these options for what to do. And you might have multiple like tiers of things that you do. Like you choose one way and then you have 3 other choices or something like that. So they can be nice little puzzles or kind of mini games to really get you doing different things. And the goal of these is going to be typically to gain a reward. Sometimes you might have to pay certain things like gold, or you might lose HP, or it might be a scenario where you wind up in a battle with somebody. Or it could be advanced things, like you might get a curse card that gets added to your deck, which is a super advanced thing that's really interesting. a lot of these events, you can use it as a space and then you can not oblige like whatever it's asking you to do. Like, oh, there's a cave. Should you go in or wait outside or leave? And you can just leave and then it'll have no effect being at that event space. So these add an interesting wrinkle just to make the kind of role playing or like what you're choosing to do a little more interesting. We definitely saw this in Inscription where you would like go to a campfire and like potentially upgrade a card or something like that. So some of the other locations, you'll see a building or a hut that's a market. And when you get here, this is where you can buy cards to add to your deck or you can buy relics. You can also upgrade cards. Every card has like a higher level version of it, which might do a bunch of different things. It might up the damage that it does. It might lower the cost of ammo that it is. It might alter its effects or something like that. So upgrading cards is definitely something that you want to consider doing. You'll get to another place called a tavern, and this is where you can pay to heal a fixed amount of your HP. So if you're low on HP, it's either like 20 or 30 gold. You can also pay to replenish your ship fuel, and it'll like max it out. So I think when you start, the max is 100. So this is where the strategizing and kind of looking ahead on the path on the map that you're trying to go on, because as you select which place to go next, it tells you how much fuel it's going to take. So as you get used to playing and like seeing the distance and calculating maybe how much in general it's going to take to get to the final boss spot, you might want to like refuel your ship. And then you'll find more advanced things like a bazaar where you can like trade cards or do some kind of upgrade to them. There'll be maelstroms where you'll go into it and it'll like transport you further ahead in the level. And there might be other ships that you encounter where if you land on the same space, where if you go to the space that they're sitting at, you'll go through a battle with them. And I think this is linked to some more advanced things on the main menu, like different bounties that you'll pick up and the rewards that you get for killing other pirates, I guess. So a lot of different things going on. And again, just to reiterate, the map path, the placement, the strategy, it's really something that you have all day. Like once you're on the map screen, you can really just kind of slowly look at the progression of the paths that you're going on. All of the taverns and markets look the same. So you might say like, oh, there's a market here. Let me go there because I have a high amount of gold. But eventually I'm going to need to go to the tavern and refuel or something like that. So let me plan so I find that next on my path. And each map will end in a boss battle. Like I said, in the navigate mode, you'll have to beat a boss battle and you can beat up to 3 in succession to get the max amount of repute. But once you go to the end of a map, you'll go to a boss battle. If you win that battle, you will replenish all your health and you can choose to move on to the next map or you can just go back to the main menu and whichever you choose, that'll dictate how much repute you get. And again, as you're progressing through, even within the navigate mode, if you go on to the next map and try to get to the next boss, it's going to be a little more difficult. So along the way, you're kind of building your deck, you're adding cards, and you're trying to synergize your strategy, and you're also kind of chancing it, because if you beat the second boss and then the third boss and be done, you'll get a higher repute reward, but you're kind of risking going, because if you die, you'll end the run and go back to the beginning. So as you're going through, monitoring your money, your health, your fuel, all of these things should be in mind. You can also sell relics. So if you're like low on cash and you're about to run out of fuel, you can sell some of the relics that you collected. And of course, as you unlock different things, different characters, that'll give you advanced abilities. So each character has their own sort of specialty that they're good at, and that'll kind of change how you play the game with different characters. And there's tons more. Like I said, you're unlocking a lot of things. Some of the things that you unlock as you keep beating runs with different characters or getting a certain number of repute, you'll unlock permanent upgrades for all your runs. So it might be like permanently add 1 relic slot or something like that. And that'll apply to all of your runs. So there is some permanence as you go through the game. Also, along the lines of talking about full transparency, at any point when you're looking at a card, you can hit description and it'll pop up like exactly what the card does, as well as if there are specific terms or functions on the card. And this is kind of reminiscent of Magic the Gathering, because you'll see terms that you see a lot. Like in this game, there's going to be terms like removed or stay or consumable or injury, you know, different status effects. And at any point, you can click glossary, or in battle, you can hit options and go to the glossary, and it will tell you exactly what all those terms mean. So it's really trying to be fully transparent, making sure that you know exactly what each thing is. And of course, as you're unlocking all of these different things, on the main menu, it'll fully track everything you've unlocked. So if there are certain cards or certain characters where you don't 100% understand their abilities or the terms on them, you can always check those out so that the next time you see them, you're fully prepared with how to use those certain things. Let's talk vibe for Pirates Outlaws, and let's start with the visuals. So this is a very simple visual palette that you're going to see. I've often explained things as like construction paper aesthetic, where like different features of whether it's characters or whether it's scenery or stuff like that, like kind of like pasted on, but it has like clean, sharp edges, almost like a cell shadedness to it, but similar to things like Dicey Dungeons. But the color palettes and the contrast of the different features remind me a lot of cell shaded games like Jusant, definitely in 2D here, not like that 3D kind of geometric shaping. Colors that you're going to see, so a lot of beiges and pale blues reminds you of sea and sand, but also browns, obviously like the wood of things or the different clothing that you'll see. But there are definitely some color pops or standouts, like especially in the relics, they'll have like yellows and reds that pop, as well as when you go in the tavern or in the market, the gold like piece icons and things like that, there'll be a lot of drastic color pop, which is nice. The environments, again, similar colors. So because of the aesthetic, like you'll have islands and ships, and they're going to have their blues of the ocean and like the beige or the green of the land. Minimal variation in terms of the overworld, like as you're looking at the path to go on, like the different spots that are battle spots, they all kind of look the same. It just looks like a rock or an island that you're going to go to. And then around you, you'll have the water of the ocean, so that'll pretty much look all the same. And then the different buildings that you see, they're pretty consistent, and I think that's helpful visually because you know when there's a tavern, like you know what a tavern looks like. So if you see it, even a glimpse of it on the map, you're like, okay, I know that there's a tavern over here on this path. The different characters that you're going to see, again, very simple, kind of no faces. It reminds me a lot of Inside, like there's no eyes or nose or anything like that, but there is facial hair and accessories, so you will see who has a beard, who's wearing a bandana, and the different clothing that you'll see, whether it's vests or, you know, the pants or the puffy white shirt or whatever. And what's really nice visually is the battle animations. So whenever you use a card that is like removed from your deck, you'll see it ripped in half. The different attacks, like you'll see your character, like, you know, when there's a melee, like they'll kind of shoot forward a little bit, and then if an enemy is hit, they'll get knocked back. So it reminds me a lot of Darkest Dungeon when you do a certain attack and like it's almost like they push on each other, like whoever's attacking pushes forward, whoever gets hit pushes back. And then we talked about like quickly using cards in succession. So just like as you're using cards, as you're doing your attacks, things happen very quickly and almost nonchalantly. Like the resolutions of these cards, like you can really hit them rapid fire. And I like that the animations kind of speed up with the pace that you're doing it. In terms of themes and setting, we're already kind of talking about it. It's pirates. So everything is pirates, the ships, the sea lingo that whoever is using, the cards that you're using, like the different attacks are very pirate based. The weapons that each character has are pirate based. They look pirate based, as well as like an infusion with like Lovecraft or Eldritch. So it's almost like pirates, but then like the open sea, like the Kraken and all this stuff. So all of those aspects, as well as the enemies that you'll start to see, really getting into supernatural stuff, like things with tentacles, but also like different undead things or ghosts or, you know, skeletons. So it really kind of runs the gamut of like pirates at sea, but also these supernatural elements kind of creeping up. And finally, in terms of audio, I really like the music in this game. It's fun, it's fast-paced, and it's very on par with the theme because it's all like guitars, like acoustic guitars or lutes. Battle themes are like fast-paced, like almost medieval or like on the high open seas, like British Navy. And then when you're in the tavern or the market, it's like a slower kind of bardic-like strumming of the guitar or of the lute. So I really like that. It really sets the aesthetic and complements it pretty well, as well as some of the sound effects. I really like the sound effects. It's really on par with a lot of the battle animations, like things happening quickly. If you shoot a gun, you hear the shot. If you throw a bomb, you'll hear the explosion. Again, very Darkest Dungeon, and I think the little details there really immerse you in the aesthetic, in the pirates and being on the open sea and Yar and all that. And it's just really satisfying to have all of that come together. Let's wrap up the conversation about Pirates Outlaws. So this is a great pick-up and play experience. I really enjoyed my time with this. I'm still kind of itching to get into it. I keep coming back to games like Balatro and Dicey Dungeons, but I think this might be a game that I'm also coming back to. And I'm a big fan of those big market games, like Balatro was up for Game of the Year, Dicey Dungeons got a lot of popularity. This really does have similar staying power in my mind. Like, I do think about this game and doing runs and, oh, what kind of deck am I trying to go for this time? Like, those thoughts do creep into my mind. So I like that it's a game that has its claws in me. Really quick, satisfying pace of battles. Again, similar to Balatro, like playing the cards, having them flip and score quickly. Same thing here, like quickly choosing what you're going to do. You know, as soon as you know what is the best strategy, you can quickly do it. And how you're building your deck, again, just happens very quickly. The nonchalantness of the animations really is satisfying. I think it's a simple concept to grasp. It's not, you know, too complicated what you're doing. It's just very simple turn-based battle. But I like that there's a really high degree of depth and complexity with the different characters, with the different areas that you can go to eventually, and the different ways that you can build your deck with combinations of cards and relics. I do like that the challenge is at your own pace, and you can choose not to do the higher challenge things, but still progress and unlock different things. I think that's a great option. Not a lot of games like this offer that. I love the tongue-in-cheek pirate aesthetic, the animations that we talked about. Similarities to games like Darkest Dungeon, which is a game that I think really does the small details very, very well, seeing a lot of similarities here. In terms of value, I think $20 isn't bad. That's the Steam MSRP. $17 on console is a little better. I think $15 is the ideal price for this and has really good value. I got this on sale for $11 on PS5, and I've been playing it on PS5 and on my Portal. I think that's a really nice price. I would not do the mobile and the microtransactions. I don't know the depth of that. I saw it on Google Play Store for $1. I don't really like to mess around with games that unlock certain things and have you pay as you go. I like to pay for the whole experience and then unlock it if that's the mechanic. That's my preference. I wouldn't do it on mobile. You might prefer it on mobile. I don't know what that experience is like. But overall, I think this is a really fun, underrated deck building roguelike experience. And I know that the subgenre is overflooded and I don't play a lot of these games, but I really like this game and I think it matches up with the top games like Dicey Dungeons, Balatro. And so I highly recommend this game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.